Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five with Steve Vaughn, also a homeschooling father down at the Denver Merchandise Mart for the Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
And
that's a big title for a big conference. We're expecting thousands of people down here at the conference from 20 states. And our focus this year will be freedom for the family. It's absolutely essential. The family has jurisdictional freedom from the auspices of the state that want to impose control over the family selection concerning medical care, immunizations, the education choices that the family wants to make for their children. And, Steve, this is not automatic. We have to lay out a vision for freedom for the family and a vision for the biblical family in the 21st century because piece by piece, inch by inch, these things are being eroded. On this edition of the program, we're going to address culture and the family. And, oh, by the way, on Friday night of this super conference on the family at the Denver Merchandise Mart, there will be a family-friendly movie fest. I guess there'll be multiple movies playing in different places around the convention center. And so that's Friday night, an entertainment opportunity for the family. And you can count on the fact we're going to have some family-friendly movies, and we're going to get into stuff that is not family-friendly coming out this weekend. But before we do so, we want to invite people to the conference. If you haven't made it to the conference, it's not over yet. You can still come down and enjoy a mega conference for the family, excuse me, a super conference for the family, and enjoy fellowship with thousands of other like-minded Christian folk who have a similar vision for their families.
One of the things that's going to happen on the film Friday film night, the family Friday film night, is Jeff Botkin is going to be teaching on how families should be watching movies. And he's going to take a fairly popular secular movie. We're not sure which one it's going to be yet. And so he'll be rolling that out on Friday night. And that's going to be in one of the forums. And he's going to go through, and he's, you know, typically he doesn't get through more than about 5 or 10 minutes of the movie. But he starts pointing stuff out and says, okay, did you see that? Did you see this?
Right.
Because when you, especially with computer-generated movies, everything in there is extremely deliberate.
Yes, and it may not be the major theme. It may be minor themes. It may be certain symbols. But man alive, you've got to be able to discern different aspects of what is happening in these major motion pictures where huge production companies are pulling together hundreds of millions of dollars, and most of which do not share your worldview, by the way, if you happen to be a Christian. And they are bringing their own worldview into your children's world. And if you can't discern these things, you really have no business in the movie theater. Now, we're going to address something coming out this weekend that is not exactly a family-friendly fare. And this is a Hollywood production. And the heads-up came just a couple of weeks ago on this one. Now, Steve, I think I'm getting to be known as one of the key critics of the Hollywood productions, especially for children. And we were a little critical on Frozen, especially when they chose to use a Howard Stern type handling of bestiality. And I think it was impossible to miss some of the homosexual symbols in the film. And yet, of course, many, many families are hesitant to note these things and hesitant to discern these things because their hearts are all wrapped around the productions that Disney and other production companies are producing for the family fare in the 21st century. So now, let's take a look at the new one coming out this weekend. It is How to Train Your Dragon. Oh, by the way, my children enjoyed the first production of How to Train Your Dragon, part one. Now, here, part two coming out this weekend. Now, we had issues with the first edition, and I'm going to address some of that on this edition of the program. But now part two is coming out, and according to FoxNews.com, you've got the article for Fox News right in front
of
you, and UK Daily Mail, How to Train Your Dragon character Gobber the Belch reveals he is gay in animation's sequel. That's the headline for the UK Daily Mail article on How to Train Your Dragon Part 2. He is the fearless dragon trainer, and now Gobber the Belch is fearlessly slaying prejudice, becoming one of the first openly gay cartoon characters. It's revealed on Friday that the 6'6" Viking will come out in the newest installment of How to Train Your Dragon. The sequel to the film premiered at the Cannes Film Festival with its director and writer Dean DeBlois. announcing to E! News the character's big step. The 43-year-old said on the red carpet that while he's openly gay, it was in fact the Late Late Show's Craig Ferguson who decided to reveal the character voices sexuality after Gabber watches a husband and wife bicker. Dean said when we were recording Craig Ferguson, he had written the line, "This is why I never get married," and he, as he often does, added in an ad-lib, and he said, "Yep, Gabber is coming out of the closet." The actual line Craig added is subtle, however, with the talk show host saying on his character's behalf, "That and one other reason," referring to the fact gay marriage has not yet been legalized in many states in the U.S. and countries around the world. So there it is. Gabber is out of the closet, and he is a professed homosexual, all part of the agenda that's being foisted upon our young folk. And another reason why you have signs up in K-6 schools in Douglas County, Colorado, announcing the GLSEN endorsement of these K-6 schools and these K-6 pro-homosexual programs. So, you know, hey, they're introducing little 8, 9, 10, 12-year-old children to a homosexual world as early as possible. Now, it's really key here, and I want to really highlight this point, Steve. Gabber is the one who is teaching the children the means by which they fight off the dragons. Gabber is the mentor. Gabber is the mentor for Hiccup, who is the protagonist in the show How to Train Your Dragon. And it reminds me very much of Dumbledore, who, as you recall, was the mentor for Harry Potter. And Dumbledore comes out of the closet as well at a very opportune moment. Once you have the kids hooked on the program, once they're hooked on Harry Potter, and once they're hooked on How to Train Your Dragon, once their little hearts are pulled in to the program on the first episode or the second or the third or the fourth, by the time you get to the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth, of course the producers are going to reveal the mentor as being homosexual. Why? Why is it so critical that the mentor for Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon and the mentor for Harry Potter in the Harry Potter series are homosexual? The answer is obvious. Obvious. For the same reason why the Greek mentors were homosexuals, and they were focused in on what the Christian fathers used to refer to as the corruption of boys. Now, we can also throw out the term pedophilia, because that was what the Greek gymnasiums were good at, and that's what the Greek mentors were trained to do. So, of course, this is the classic Greek gymnasium. This is the picture of the classic Greek mentor. Of course the mentor for Hiccup, of course the mentor for Harry Potter, has got to be a homosexual. Cicero, the Greek, wrote, "It seems to me that this habit of homosexual pederasty originated in the Greek gymnasiums, where these affairs were free and tolerated." That's Cicero, writing some 1900 years ago. He's the famous Roman historian. Writing on homosexual pederasty, because it was essential that in a depraved humanist culture that the educational systems, the gymnasiums, the mentorships, et cetera, prepare the boys to be homosexuals. And of course, pederasty, very, very important part of this. You know, Steve, the corruption of boys and of girls is happening all over the place. Now, in the ancient Greek world, the corruption of boys came by way of the Greek form of pederasty. Nowadays, it comes by way of homosexual pornography. I will tell you that I know of young men, nice Christian young men raised in Christian homes, homeschools, etc., who were hooked into the homosexual lifestyle via homosexual pornography as early as 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. So yes, homosexuals are very good at hooking in little boys in the gymnasiums and by way of homosexual pornography online, and of course by Kevin Jennings and his high school programs, and by powerful media sources that teach these kids early on their values of homosexuality by way of these huge Hollywood productions. So let's remember, this is an agenda that has been around for 2,600 years. Now, of course, in the Christian era, over a period of about 2,000 years, or 1,500, 1,600 years, there was a break in the action, a break in some of these abominations that destroyed young boys and sometimes young girls. There was a break in the action, but it's now back as of the year 2014. So, friends, the corruption of boys and girls was very important, very fundamental to a humanist form of education early on. It's coming back. We've been warning you of this for the last 3 to 4 years on the Generations Radio broadcast. We've been talking about Camp Sandusky. Now, that sounded a little satirical when we brought it out the first time. That, you know, incorporating Camp Sandusky into the Boy Scouts would seem strange to the present day, but not to the homosexuals from the gymnasium. Not to Gobber. Not to Dumbledore. And the mentors of Harry Potter and Hiccup and How to Train Your Dragon. So see, this fits in. This fits in very, very, very well.
Yeah, and unless you think that, you know, this little one-liner might be just a one-liner and we're reading way too much into this, the writer and the director of this...
And this is your Fox, this is your FoxNews.com.
This is from the FoxNews.com. Who was this? Ferguson, after he said that line, Dubois says, yeah, we all started chuckling and said, that's right, Gobber's coming out in this movie. I just love that about Craig. He's always got just a little extra something for you. I think it's nice. It's progressive. It's honest. And it feels good. So we wanted to keep it. Now, the ad-libbed one-liner will now need to be written into Gobber's role in part three. So that it's going to get even more so in part three. So it's going to be added
They're
in.
They're hooking children into the worldview. They're bringing them into the homosexual lifestyle as early as 5 or 6 or 7 years of age. Just as the Pied Piper of Hamelin would pull kids into his spell, these powerful media sources, friends, will charm these kids by these spells. Eventually, these kids will embrace these movies as their favorite movies, as their favorite soundtrack, and they'll watch it 15, 18, 20, 25 times, and eventually they will come to accept the nuances.
Yeah,
that's the way these things are programmed. And unless parents have their eyes wide open, they have no business. They have no business sending their kids into these theaters, friends. It would be better for them to have a millstone be hanged around their neck and they'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea than to stumble one of the little ones that believes in Christ. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. So, hey, there's a lot of caution here, Steve, for any parent who wants to send their kid down the track of getting addicted to the Hollywood children's movie fair, where these movie producers are going to move in the direction of incorporating homosexuality into their films.
Absolutely. And Dubois goes on to say that in doing this, we try to incorporate elements of the story that will speak to the youngest audience members while we're trying to speak to the adults in the audience as well. So they know that they're speaking to the youngest audience members. This is their agenda.
Yeah, that's their agenda. And friends, you know, the Christian approach to the corruption of boys and the corruption of girls has been very, very clear all the way back from the Council of Elvira in the 290s. Believe me, the Christians understood that there was some of the foulest stuff possible happening in Greek society and in some Roman society as well. And the Christians took a very hard stand against it. That's why in the Council of Elvira, Canon 71, I believe, here's the quote, those who corrupt boys may not commune, that is, it wouldn't come back into the communion service, taking the Lord's table, even when death approaches. In other words, in the councils, they took a look at some of the very worst possible moral practices that people would engage in, and they found this to be at the very, very bottom of the sewer. This is the worst, the absolute worst practice, according to the Christian church, and the history of the Christian church, has been the corruption of boys and homosexual pederasty performed by the Greek society in those early years. So the Christian church was not naive on this point. They understood the bad guys could do very, very bad things, and they would keep this kind of immoral practice at an arm's length and keep it away, as far away as possible, from the church. Now, sadly, some of this has come back into the Roman Catholic Church and in certain aspects of the Protestant Church as well. But, you know, Hollywood is out there at the very forefront of this, trying to bring it back mainstream in the 21st. It would not surprise me at all, Steve. Would not surprise me at all if 20, 30, 40 years from now, it would be common practice for the teachers, the mentors, the public schools, the Boy Scouts, etc., to be incorporating the sorts of things that the Greek gymnasiums did 2,000 years ago.
No, I don't think that would be surprising at all. And, you know, with the way that things are going right now. And it's not even that the Christians are keeping the kids at arm's length anymore. They're sending them into Babylon, sending them into, you know, the cesspool to fend for themselves almost.
I told my kids this morning, we're not watching this movie. We're just not watching it, kids. This is a violation of our moral sensibilities, and this is a corruption. We're just not going to be corrupted with the rest of the world on things like this. And there's a sadness to this, Steve. And we sat around there thinking, you know, we can't trust Hollywood. We can't trust the movie theater. We can't just walk in anymore, relax, and grab a box of popcorn and a Coke and just, you know, absorb everything Hollywood is giving us. We can't relax, can't be entertained by these sources anymore. We have to be on our guard. And I think that's a bit of a sad note for many families out there that thought somehow Disney and Hollywood would continue to produce family-friendly fare in their PG&G rated movies, but not so anymore.
Well, they think it's family-friendly because they consider this type of a relationship as being part of the family.
Right.
It's not a Christian family-oriented movie because Christ, of course, is an abomination to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, well, we're going to talk about a little bit more of some of these things in just a moment. I want to come back to How to Train Your Dragon, some broader concerns with this movie and others as well. Don't forget, we're down at the Rocky Mountain Super Family Conference on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Friday night. We've got some real strong pro-Christian, pro-family movies that we'll be showing on Friday night. Be back in just a moment. The program is Generations. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th through the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org, that's C-H-E-C.org, that's check.org under Check Events on the web, or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Steve Vaughn also here at the Denver Merchandise Mart, where we are about to commence the gigantic super conference for the family in the Rocky Mountains. We've got people from 20 states coming to the conference, Steve. And, of course, the price is minimal for the entire family. And you can register at the door. And don't forget, we've got Family Film Night on Friday night. And you just told me that it's a free admission. So you can just come on down. If you're anywhere in the Denver metro area, come down Friday night.
Yeah, you don't even have to sign up for the conference.
Yeah, you don't have to go watch the premiere of How to Train Your Dragon Part 2 and train your kids in how to be a homosexual, how to improve of homosexuality. You can just ignore Hollywood's Fair and come down to the Denver Merchandise Mart and enjoy some family-friendly stuff on Friday night of this week.
Now, if you do sign up with your family, for the whole family, you can not only bring your children, all of your children, you can bring their grandparents. You can bring your parents for free for the whole conference as well for one price.
It's a multi-generational price.
Absolutely.
Pretty good. Okay, Steve, getting back to How to Train Your Dragon, the bigger problem here is something I'm going to read in just a moment from Isaiah 5, 18 through 20. Very, very critical passage that I think nails what is happening in many of our public schools, much of our public media, Lady Gaga, and what's being produced by Hollywood and Disney in many cases. The
there's a glorification of a Christless paganism in these movies. They're going back to a paganism, the Vikings, the Greeks, the, you know, whatever they were doing before Christ, which was homosexuality, cannibalism, vampirism, you know, fill in the blank. There's going to be a lot of paganism that will be reintroduced in a post-Christian era. Duh, it's a big duh. If it's post-Christian, we're going back to paganism. So if you watch the movie, of course you're going to see the glorification of paganism. The pagans, in this case, the good guys, and by the way, there are no real bad guys in the movie. The bad guys always turn out to be the big good guys anyway. So there's a blurring of the thesis-antithesis, good and evil, throughout the movie. The pagans, of course, are all tattooed up. Of course they're tattooed up. Their faces are tattooed up in some horrific way because that's cool. And because we want to be sure that the 7- and 8-year-old boys attending How to Train Your Dragon Part 2 in 2014 will be tattooed up all the way through their face, down through their toes. They'll have their tattoos and their loincloths, and they'll be sitting around smoking their peyote, engaging in tribal warfare, and impregnating half the village while their women are doing the work and trying to keep the kids alive. Okay, so that's pretty much paganism, and I think we're already there.
Yeah.
But we've got to, you know, we've got to continue to encourage that through How to Train Your Dragon Part 2. The homosexual characters that we've mentioned are presented in a positive light, in contrast with a husband and wife who are fighting with each other. And that, of course, is why the homosexual says, "Don't you see how my lifestyle is so much better than this?" You know, that the utter degradation of marriage, the horrific relationships that exist within marital relationships is pointed out by the movie in order to glorify homosexuality, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Dragons are also presented as good. And I think it's Philip Telford that's been on the program before, and he's had concerns about this. And that he brought this out on How to Drain Your Dragon Part 1 on the radio program a number of months ago. And I think he's got a point. Now, what happens, though, in these movies is they try to distinguish between good dragons and bad dragons. And sometimes the distinction even there begins to blur, and that's the whole idea. You know, you develop the same thing with witches. With witches, you develop the good witches, and then you develop the bad witches. Now, the Bible says witchcraft is just plain evil. It's wrong, sinful. It's a sin against God. It's very clear in the Word of God. The Bible lays out a strong ethical framework, and you begin to ignore that, and you wind up to be a pagan witch, homosexual, sodomite, molesting small boys. So that's what happens when you begin to neglect the Word of God as a standard for ethics. So be careful. Don't do that. It's what the churches are doing these days, and it bothers me. I think one of the reasons why the church has gone so haywire in Protestantism and the Roman Catholic Church is we've lost the standard of the laws of God as the very standard of what is good and evil as determined by God himself, who, by the way, will one day come and judge the world. So the distinction is made between good dragons and bad dragons, good witches and bad witches. But before you know it, you begin to lose track of what exactly it is that makes good dragons and makes for bad dragons. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is to lose the distinction. Now, initially, there's a bit of distinction between the good cannibals and the bad cannibals. The good cannibals wipe their mouths with a napkin. Much better manners, you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. But after a while, we don't see that there's all that much difference between the good cannibals and the bad cannibals because we had already accepted cannibalism as morally acceptable. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So the same things happen, of course, with How to Train Your Dragon. So the lines are blurred between good and evil to the point where there's no more much of a distinction between good and evil.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're trying to go for, because, you know, without God, then we end up then determining ourselves what's good and evil, because, you know, we are as God.
And we're back in the garden.
And we're back in the garden
right,
again.
Where Satan says you
exactly.
should be as gods.
Exactly. You determine
good and evil.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's why witchcraft is so bad,
yeah.
Is because what they're doing is they are essentially saying that I can manipulate the natural realm, just as God did. I will be the one who does all of this. It's me. I have the power. And that's why witchcraft, they're seeking to get rid of God.
Now, the glorification of polytheism is also there in How to Train Your Dragon Part 1, where Hiccup says, "Oh, the gods hate me. Some people lose their knife or their mug. No, not me. I managed to lose an entire dragon." So the gods, reference to the gods. Of course, the pagan concept
is being brought back in this movie. And, of course, the little guys watching are embracing the protagonist as their guy. And if he's a polytheist, if he's all tatted up and all of his friends are tatted up, and if he embraces homosexuality, then why not the rest of us sitting here in these theaters watching this thing?
Also, the little boy comes back to the tribe, the Viking tribe, and reminds them that everything we know about the dragons is wrong. Everything we know about dragons is wrong. Now, Steve, now.
Okay, everything we know about the dragons is wrong, including the fact that dragons are evil, including the fact that the symbol of the dragon is established in Scripture as equated to Satan himself.
Right.
Okay? Everything about the dragons, everything, including the symbolic element of the dragon, that for millennia, ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden because the dragon tempted them to sin, ever since that point, man has understood that the dragon has some symbolic reference to Satan himself, the king of demons, the height of all evil. And here's another point that we should make, is that, hey, the animal world and the world of man has been corrupted by man's fall into sin. And the blood and tooth and claw, including the tooth and claw of dragons, is a consequence of Adam and Eve falling in the garden, and that itself is an evil thing. And if we know that about dragons, then that itself is something we know that is right. And whatever Hiccup is telling the tribe here in the movie is incorrect. Again, he's trying, I think what's happening in these movies is they're trying to purge us of any true distinction between good and evil and any concept that there can be something like evil in our present world. That anything at all could be defined as definitively evil because God, as the absolute, has established it to be so. Here's Isaiah 5, 18 through 20. I want to make sure I read this before we wrap up the broadcast, Steve, because this pretty much nails what is happening in our cultural systems today, where Hollywood is producing these movies that are pressing us into a perspective on ethics that is absolutely devilish. Here it is. Isaiah 5:18, woe to them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope. Doesn't that sound what Hollywood is doing?
Oh, yeah.
In episode 1, then episode 2, pulling it 6 inches and then pulling them another foot and then another 2 feet and another 3 feet. These are the cords of vanity that draw sin with a cart rope that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh, and come that we may know it. Woe to them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. That is precisely what our large cultural institutions like Hollywood and the producers of How to Train Your Dragon Part 2 are doing, Steve. They are blurring the thesis-antithesis distinction. Woe to them that call evil good.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually blurring it. They're obliterating the lines right there. I mean, you're looking at, you know, with Harry Potter, witchcraft, God says is evil. The Hollywood says is good. You know, everything we know about dragons is, you know, we don't know anything now. It's all wrong. So
the good guys have been killing dragons for nigh unto 3,000 years.
Yeah, okay. And that's all wrong now.
And that's all wrong now, right? That's all wrong since, what, 3 years ago when somebody came out with How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, God as says if, homosexuality is evil.
As if we could make the essence of evil into good. And that's, I think, is the overarching message that is being taught, and it's chilling. It's just chilling to see the kind of demonic influence coming out of Hollywood and the producers of How to Train Your Dragon Part 2. Well, folks, you can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. I know we're probably going to get a little pushback on this edition of the program. We tend to when we wade into the gigantic battle and where we begin to point out these problems with the major cultural systems, but that's okay. Somebody's got to do it. Hardly anybody throws a flag on the play. I hope that there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of churches, of pastors around America that will warn their congregants on these. I'm hoping that there's hundreds, if not thousands, of radio programs like this one that will stand up and point out where families need to be way more discerning and how to determine when their values are being eroded and when God's word is being attacked. And and where the children are being tempted away by the Pied Piper of Hamlet. Okay, friends, again, you can write into the program at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.